As God's people first heard the psalm in Hebrew from a former shepherd himself, inspired through David, Adonai roi lo echsar bin oth desha yarbid seni ome menuchoth yenacheleni. Today, nafshi yeshovev. Two words. He restores my soul. We bow our heads in prayer. O Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as you lead us to springs of living water, grant that blessing to us that we who are downcast with sin and worry, guilt and fear, that we may be lifted up, set on our feet again as you restore our soul. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, my dear fellow sheep. A few weeks ago, I told you about a clip I had seen and couldn't find it again, but it was two police officers, maybe in New Zealand or Australia, and young men that are looking across a park area and cars are going along a road over there and there's something moving. You can't tell at first when you see it. And they look at each other and they run toward that movement. And as they get closer, you realize that's an animal, turns out to be a sheep on her back with her legs kicking in the air. They pick her up, set her on her feet, and as she walks off, they're fist pumping like that, all excited, like they really did something. Actually, they did. A cast sheep is in mortal danger. We're about to find out something from this hard-handed sheep man, Philip Keller, from his years of experience as a shepherd and then as a lay preacher, sharing these insights from the shepherd's psalm about what it means to be restored when you've been cast down. Those two officers, fist pumping, all that, you can imagine that, and it helps to see a clip, but think of yourself now as Shepherd Philip Keller, going out every morning and looking at the skies to see if you will notice black wings of buzzards circling over your pastures. That happens, you'll be off at a run, because that means there's something going on out there, and if you have one of your sheep cast, you have to get there before the cougars, coyotes, stray dogs, or the buzzards are feasting on the carcass of one of your precious sheep. It's so vital for us as God's sheep, with Jesus as our shepherd, to have him scanning our lives and always watching, counting to make sure that all his sheep are accounted for. If one is missing, we need him. We need him because he's the one who restores my soul. Restores my soul when I'm cast down. Where did this idea come from that if you become a Christian, somehow your life is going to be easy? You know, pasted on smiles that never dry up in trials and troubles and never wash away on a rainy day. Everything's going to be fine. It's called a theology of glory. And it's in direct contradiction to what Jesus said in the theology of the cross when he said, pick up your cross and follow me. He warns throughout Scripture that it's not going to be so easy. And David, in other psalms, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, Psalm 42 twice and then again in the companion, Psalm 43, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Philip Keller was sure that he was referring to that idea of a cast sheep. And David knew what it meant to be cast down deep inside his soul because of his sorrow over sin. Remember the adultery and the murder? And then also his frustration at falling when he should have known better. All of what that brought into his family. And you and I know what sin does to us too. Sometimes we're cast down because we've been impatient with our children, disobedient to our parents, disrespectful, or unkind to our spouse or our co-workers. And sometimes, frankly, we don't know why. You're just blue, as they say, but it's a way of being cast down too. Don't you love it when doctors or some healthcare professional will give you that sage advice, avoid stress in your life. There you go. That'll do it right there. And you sometimes wonder, I don't know, flashes across my mind whenever I hear that, where do you live? Really? I don't know anybody that can actually avoid stress, but to deal with it or to have the good shepherd watching over you when you are cast down, it doesn't get any better than that. A cast sheep is actually an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has, been walking along and found that little hollow place where it's cool and can lie down and just start rocking back and forth. And they get rocking like that, and suddenly the center of gravity shifts. And before you know it, they're on their back and can't get up again. You got 4 feet and hooves kicking in the air, and it will be increasing frustration while they try to right themselves, but they really can't. As time goes on, the gases build up inside them, and it actually cuts off circulation. You know, if you've ever had a foot go to sleep, it's very similar to that. But it gets really critical, because if they could get over, they couldn't even walk for a while. And if it's hot, they'll die within a matter of hours. If it's cool, it can be days before they die, unless the coyotes or the wild dogs get at them first. It's dangerous when a sheep is cast. So the shepherd has to be constantly watching, counting his sheep, making sure they're all accounted for. And if he sees one missing, he's got to get out there, especially if it's one that was heavy with young and she's rolled over now. If he loses her, he's going to lose her little ones too. So losing one often means losing several. You know what the word pastor means? Shepherd? Had to explain this to a young woman in my office one time years ago. She was upset because her pastor, a fellow Wisconsin-centered pastor, was checking up on her communion attendance. And I had to explain to her, do you know that he is accountable as a shepherd before God? We are. Jesus loves his sheep, and he has sent his pastors, shepherds, under shepherds of the good shepherd, to care for those sheep. And if we are negligent in this, we have to answer to him. It is so comforting as a pastor when I have people tell me, yeah, I was there, I took communion and so forth. We do get reports from some of the congregations that will tell us that. It's not unkind, it's love. It's kindness watching out just as we watch out for each other in a family, with the added need as pastors, as Pastor Paul was very concerned, that sometimes it does mean, as with the Corinthians, he had to sometimes correct them. It's a congregation of very talented people, but you would compare them to a very healthy, strong flock, all right, sheep that really had it all together. And Pastor Paul had to warn them, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's often the strong, woolly sheep that seem to be the most healthy, and yet they can be cast in a moment. They can go from being strong and healthy to being victims in no time at all. So he warns the Lord's flock in Corinth, but I love the verse that follows. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So be careful that you don't fall, but remember this. This is common, what you're going through. Other people have these issues too. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also find a way out so that you can stand up under it. And that may mean the good shepherd getting there in time to lift you up. Out of that soft spot where you found where life is so good, they like to talk about the golden years. After ministering all these years and getting closer to the golden years, I wonder where that expression came from, huh? Is it just that people need more gold because health is failing and now expenses are going up? And one old member of the congregation once said, you know, I have so much more time on my hands, but everything I do takes me 10 times longer. Very frustrating. So it's not so golden at any time in our life, and especially if we can find that little cocoon that Americans like to make where, you know, no demands on my time and no other responsibilities, just leave me alone and let me go, and the Lord won't have it. Because sometimes, as sheep of his pasture, we are simply fat with his blessings, and he needs to help us. When I am cast down, I need my shepherd to be looking for me for my own good. But it is also for my shepherd's reputation. Remember how this psalm starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. Next week we'll hear about his namesake. His reputation is all on the line in how well he takes care of his sheep. And he especially wants people to know when they hear the name of Jesus Christ that that is the good shepherd who watches over, so that people have this confidence based on what they see in you. You know, the only Bible people ever read is you and your life. So when they see Christians in kindness and love responding to difficult situations led by the good shepherd, then they can see what kind of a good shepherd we have, and his reputation grows. Maybe even to the point of asking, what's that all about? Maybe asking you, what a blessing to know the Lord is my shepherd, especially when I'm cast down. He knows what he's doing. An uncle of mine served in Korea and said that there was nothing that helped him more when he was in harm's way than to remember a little sentence from a song we learned as kids, "Thou God seest me." Just to know that the shepherd is scanning the skies, watching over you, running to pick you up and help you out. "Thou God seest me." That what tremendous love and power and skill our good shepherd has. He's got to have the love to be watching and caring right away and through the night, early in the morning, but also the power to pick us up again and the skill to do it in a way that will get us back on our feet. Philip Keller was talking about how when he'd find a ewe that had been cast for a few hours, he would roll her over carefully and then lift her up and set her on her feet, but often she couldn't stand there. She might take a couple of steps and flop over again. Isn't that the way it is in our lives? You think things are fine, and you know, an hour, a minute or two later, boom, you're down again. Well, the good shepherd is there to follow along, lift you up, set you back on your feet again, and do that as often as it takes until that sheep of his pasture can join the flock again and once again be strong. That's love. That's power. That's skill. That's why we call him the good shepherd. He's all of that. He knows what he's doing. He knows that at times it may be the fattest sheep that's in the most danger. And when he sees that begin to happen, because our blessings are weighing us down, he may move us to a different pasture where there aren't so many ruts and places where we can roll back and forth and find our comfort. A different pasture where perhaps it's not as comfortable for us. There is a matter of self-discipline in this, though, too, as Jesus talking to the rich young man in Matthew 19. The man is frustrated. He's downcast. He comes to Jesus and says, you know, what commandment is so important? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus mentions the commandments, and he says, all of these I've kept since my youth. What do I still lack? He was feeling that work righteousness of trying to achieve rightness with God on your own and by your own efforts and works. It's what Paul is hitting so hard in Romans that we heard about, the reconciliation. It's while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, God reconciled us to himself in Christ before we could get it all right. And this man was struggling to try to get it all right first. And so Jesus had to tell him something that he didn't like to hear. It says Jesus loved him, so it was his love behind this. But he said to the man, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. And the man went away sad because he had great wealth, it said. He had a God that was more important to him, his wants, his desires, more important than the wants and the desires of his good shepherd. So it's a blessing at those times when the Lord moves us to another pasture where it's not so comfortable, but it's discipline. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. One of my favorite illustrations from Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, was about how important good discipline is, loving, firm discipline, not just for kids, but in all of our lives. It's like the railings on a bridge. Have you ever had that happen? We went over an overpass a few weeks ago in another state, and it had a curve off to the left, and as we're coming up, you're looking at the sky, and you don't see the railing. For a split second there, you feel like you're out in the middle of the air, and it's unnerving until you can see those railings again, and then everything's fine. There really wasn't any difference except in perception. Likewise, if you have a slab of concrete, you know, several stories up reaching out outside your patio, you're not going to walk out there unless there's a railing. That can't stop you from hurting yourself, but it's that security that's there. And that's how God's discipline is for us. It's security that helps us realize He's watching, He's controlling, He's not going to let me get away. And God help me, I don't want Him to. Especially at those times when it's the wool of me. Sheep with their wool get so matted with manure and ticks and mud and all sorts of yucky things that they can get cast just because of that. And that's very similar to our lives when so much of me and my pride and my arrogance is just piling up in there, and it goes on just so long, and the good shepherd can tell this sheep is about to be cast. And so it's shearing time. And it's not pleasant for the shepherd or the sheep. But he's got to take that sheep and shear off that wool, all matted and filthy as it is, and get rid of it. There's bleating going on from the sheep. The shepherd is sweating. It's work. But oh, when it's done, the relief of being free of me so that I can look at my good shepherd and follow him. This is full and free forgiveness that he never gets rid of me because I'm cast down or filthy. He rescues me. He restores my soul. He knows what he's doing with me when I'm overweight with blessings. We like to believe that lie of our society that if you're blessed materially, that somehow God must be smiling on you, and if you don't have much, then maybe not so much blessing. Just a big lie. You can tell it's a lie because in one of the letters to the pastors in the angel of the church, I think in Laodicea, Revelation 3, the Lord Jesus says, "You say, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing." It was a congregational attitude that they were picking up from their pastor. "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." So everything looks good on the outside, but you're cast. You're cast down. He won't put up with that. He will instead say to them, and it's beautiful, the verses that follow this in Revelation 3 as well. He says, come buy from me food and clothing, real food, real clothing. And when you buy from the Lord, you realize he gives you what it takes to buy, right? It's like handing your kids the money and then telling them to buy something. That's the way the Lord is for us. We can't afford blessings like this. But come and buy food with no cost. It says that in Isaiah as well. And clothing that really covers your shameful nakedness. He comes back with these beautiful gospel blessings after he has torn us down again. Luther liked to say he has to kill us before he makes us alive. He has to knock us down before he picks us up. So true. What about those times when you are cast down through no fault of your own? It does happen. We know it happens because the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, that's really the whole sense of it. His friends want to try to pin something on him, and he keeps saying no, and the Lord himself said this was a righteous man. It was not because of something Job did that he lost everything, including his health. So what do you do? Maybe you're reading your Bible, saying your prayers, faithful in worship, seeking the Lord's help in every way that you can, where he reveals himself in word and sacrament, and yet friends forsake you, finances tank, family is sick and hurting, dysfunctional, as they say. There's distress there. Maybe in your marriage where the politeness isn't even there, much less the love. We all go through times like that. And you're trying, you're working at it. In Isaiah 50, the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, and it's actually Jesus the Messiah, pre-incarnate Christ, speaking here. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Wait on the Lord. That's the advice in the Psalms over and over again. It's a difficult time when you're cast, but the Lord is watching. He's very aware of what's going on in your life, and he's on the run to give relief at just the right time and just the right way. And he restores my soul no matter why or when or where I am cast down. Philip Keller does a good job in the book of pointing that out, how some people think that because they're cast down, you know, these difficulties in their life, that therefore God must be angry and disgusted and he's going to walk away and leave them. Just not true. He's the good shepherd. And he's going to be there for the sheep, even if he has to pick you up again. And as the shepherd would chide the sheep, say, when are you going to learn to walk on your own? How many times am I going to have to get you up like this? You rascal, I'm so glad I found you when I did. That's his heart. So true of our God, the way he reveals himself in Scripture. Not in anger, not in disgust, in this fervent yearning that will take care of our deepest needs and restore us, even at tremendous cost to himself. Keller said that he had to be away for a few days when a particular ewe that every season, as she was heavy with lambs, she would be cast. And he just knew that if they didn't watch her carefully, she would die. So he told his son that if he could keep her on her feet, he would be handsomely rewarded when his dad got back. So every day when the boy got home from school, he would go out and find that ewe. You know, they end up pretty much in the same place. Set her back on her feet again, keep her up. Saved her life, really. And that spring, she rewarded them with two beautiful lambs. See, God gave us his son to watch over us, to be keeping us, and to send the Holy Spirit always as needed to restore my soul. How wonderful! The Lord is my shepherd. How wonderfully he restores my soul. Amen.